You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. Minor Talk is live. We're presented by Jack in the Box. I'm joined by Sal Montes and Alberto Retta. We're talking after this UTEP win today against Jackson State. First game of the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational. Zay Galindo in the house as well. We are just getting started here on the show. 915-505-6009. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. 600 ESPN El Paso, our free app where you can listen to us in real time. Well, guys, no one's going to like how that game ended, right? But the Miners were up by as much as 22 points in the second half, and they had a lot of control in this one. You know, things were going their way. Otis Frazier III scoring in double figures to start things off in the game in the first half, and then you had guys like Kevin Kalu play a near-perfect game as far as his offense goes. 12 points on 6 of 6 scoring, 12 rebounds. He also chipped in with 2 steals. But, you know, despite all of that, and then Ahmad Bynum, don't forget about him, the nation's leading three-point scoring in terms of percentage-wise, three-point percentage. He leads the country in that margin right there. But Ahmad Bynum with 12 points tonight, he had a trio of three-pointers in this one. But, you know, the things that you're not going to necessarily like is the fact that UTEP led by as much as 22 points with just 5:15 left in the second half. But then, you know, Jackson State rallied back in this game and really put a nice scare against the Miners in this first game of the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational. Thank you, Sal. And I understand that, you know, when it comes to this game, it is hard to get up for it. It is hard when you're up 22 points to have the motivation when, you know, you're UTEP right there and you're emptying out the bench. You heard from head coach Joe Golding post-game. You know, not happy, not necessarily excited about this one right here. Looking inward after this one, knowing that they have to be better on their bench. And I get it. Like, these games are tough sometimes to have motivation and tough for, you know, other people to really show out for. But at the same time, you know, UTEP is picked to win big in these games. First it was Tarleton State, and then it was this one. And the Miners, you know, they eke out this game when it was all said and done. 67-61, the closing minutes of this one got a little scary for the Miners. Nonetheless, they get it done tonight. They're not going to be able to get it done tomorrow against Yale if they play this way. But that's where we start things off, Sal. We thought it would be an easy one today, especially, you know, going into halftime. I was like, all right, this one can lead to blowout potential. But when it was all said and done, Jackson State made it too close for comfort.
Yeah, and we did think it was an easy one, and that's because it was. They're very fortunate that it was Jackson State in those final couple minutes. We saw them almost do the same thing with Tarleton State the last game. I get that there was some emotions behind it, but, I mean, just unnecessary. Necessary fouls and letting teams get in. It doesn't matter who's on the floor at the end of the day. You got to be able to catch it in. So they're very lucky. It's a team who was 0-10, now 0-11 for obvious reasons. Otherwise, it could have been a lot different. But I digress. Nonetheless, they do win. They finally break a streak and are able to have a chance at the chip. So, I mean, hey, tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah, and for the Miners, trying to go back-to-back in the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational for the first time since they did so 3 years in a row, 2012, 2013, and 2014. But that's the last time you can look back at UTEP winning in consecutive years. Alberto, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at in terms of worried meter going into tomorrow's game, knowing it's Yale, and knowing that this Yale team right here, out of the Ivy League, they're pretty strong. They just beat Akron 74-58, did so in a commanding fashion to close out that game. So contrary to UTEP, Yale, they closed out their game in a pretty dominant fashion.
Yeah, Yale closes out their game in a dominant fashion. And then you go over to the stat broadcast of UTEP's game, you go over to the run tracker, And in those final 5 minutes of the game, JSU, so Jackson State, goes on an 18-2 run against the UTEP Miners to go from 63-41 to 65-59. So those type of runs are what you want to eliminate if you're UTEP completely tomorrow, by tomorrow, because Yale is going to punish you if you allow them to go on runs like that. And it might not just be 18-2. It could be a lot more. And that's just the late run that this team managed to go on. So, yeah, the Miners have a lot to work on. Yeah, there's a lot of good, but there's still lots of room for improvement.
All right, Zay, you tell me, where are you at? Are you worried at all going into tomorrow? Or, yeah, I think everybody, a logical person, should be worried about UTEP-Yale, but tell me, where are you at in terms of the preparation or after this one? Are you a little bit more worried going into tomorrow's game?
Yeah, you know, Yale, they're a really good basketball team, right? I got to see some of that Akron game, and they put them away, like you said, quite easily. And the big thing for me is, UTEP got out-rebounded by Jackson State, right? It was 40-33 on the boards, and Yale put up almost 50 rebounds over Akron. Like, they're a good rebounding team. They're really solid in that, you know, asset of the game. And we know UTEP. It's really matchup-based with who they play. Any given night, they can compete with any team if that matchup favors them. But, I mean, this Yale team, they're really good at taking care of the basketball. They rebound the ball really good. So it's a tough matchup for the Miners. And, you know, obviously the way that they ended this game, especially in that second half, right, they were winning, they were leading by so much, it kind of just slipped away from them. They got kind of unlocked in. You know, they only forced one Jackson State turnover in that second half. Do you know how crazy that is for a Joe Golding-led team? And it's crazier. They had 11 steals in the first half. They end up with 11. So it was not the typical second half that you would like to see from this UTEP team.
Got too comfortable. I like how he described it with Joe Golding. Let's hear from head coach Joe Golding post-game. You posted this one, Zay, afterward in the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational. Here's head coach Joe Golding after the win today against Jackson State.
At home, the crowd affects winning. There's no question if we're at Yale, they would have a great crowd. So, you know, I would hope our minor fans would rally up. I don't know who's playing the late night game tomorrow on football, but who cares, right? The most important game in the country tomorrow at 7 o'clock, football or basketball, is UTEP versus Yale, right? And so hopefully we have a good crowd that will come out and support our players because they deserve it.
They do deserve it. I love the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational. Look at what happened at the halftime and in between games. There's like dunking going on thanks to Dr. Hansen. I love that. I love that group over there. And they did a great job dunking in between games and stuff like that, or even in media timeouts and stuff. You know, there was a lot of pageantry around there. The Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational is always such a great event. And the Sun Bowl team put together such a great tournament here to start things off. But the vibe was cool in the crowd. My thing is, there just needs to be more people out there. This is a holiday weekend, Zay. And just like, you know, head coach Joe Golding said right there, it's Yale tomorrow. It's a championship game. You're playing for a chance to go back-to-back in their own tournament, so to speak, I guess in their own backyard. You got to have, you know, 6,000 plus in the stands, you know, when it comes to a Saturday game.
Yeah, I mean, they deserve it, right? This team is 5-0 at home. They're 8-3 overall. Like you said, they're playing for a championship tomorrow, and they're playing against a good Yale team, right? They beat Auburn in the NCAA tournament last year, and I know it's not the same team, right? A lot of turnover and stuff like that, but Yale is still a very, very solid program. They're a known program. I saw some Yale fans in the crowd, so, you know, it's not crazy for like you said, for 6,000 to be the expected number. Will it be that? Probably not, right? We can probably hover around 5,000 to 5,500, something right there. I feel like that would be the sweet spot. I know there's people, you know, in town for the holidays. No reason why that shouldn't be, you know, somewhere around there.
Sal, they need asses in the seats. That's what they need.
No, definitely. And I understand why it's a night. Probably not. I mean, hey, holiday shopping, people got to get it done. Christmas.
It's a busy time of year. I get it.
It's busy. And I mean, time wise, I guess today feels more family friendly, so to speak, to go out and do other things. They're not thinking about UTEP versus Jackson State. And also, too, Jackson State being 0-10 is not the most attractive. And
true.
And the way that they finished out, you know, they're like, oh, good thing we didn't go see that, right? But ultimately, just the name alone, you know, it's the it's the West Star Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational should be a big reason. But I mean, I get it. It's just a different time. People are checked out, just like some guys around the country right now who play basketball today in general. They're kind of checked out because they want to go see their family. Well, guess what? Family members in El Paso have family coming in, you know, their kids coming in from college, or maybe they want to go visit them. So it's just a real hard time. You got to be dedicated to the game of basketball to be out there.
Yeah, if you live in this city, if you are a true El Pasoan, if you got family here, or if you got friends here, or if you have friends who moved away, this is that time of year where they come back to town. This is the time of year when people start arriving into town and stuff. And we've got the holidays right around the corner. I mean, right after this weekend, really. So, yeah, I get it. It is a tough time of year. It's a lot. There's a lot going on. School just let out today, which should be more of an excuse for teachers, students to come out tomorrow. I get it, though. It's Jackson State. It's 0-10. But now we'll flip it. Tomorrow it's Yale. And UTEP is 8-3, like Zay mentioned. Yale is a team who has a chance to play in the NCAA tournament when it's all said and done. So for fans tomorrow, for Saturday, hopefully it's a good opportunity for them to come out, support UTEP, and watch them have a chance to go back-to-back in this tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing, Sal. They got to try to go back-to-back in this tournament. I think, again, we have high expectations on this team. You heard from Joe Golding post-game. It seems like his expectations are elevated, even though he loves this team and loves coaching this team, like he said. But they've got to win tomorrow. That's the expectation.
Yeah, and it's not an easy task at all. Yale, although their record as it stands right now, 6-5, the losses that they have, Adrian, really impressive. You know, the most recent one to Rhode Island not too long ago was an 84-78 game, so by six. Another six-point loss to Delaware, who's making noise this year. How about a three-point loss to Minnesota, an eight-point loss against Purdue, and then back in the day, these guys were a joke, but UIC, man, they've been on fire this year. No pun intended for the Flames, but I mean, those are respectable losses, and all of those losses, with the exception of that one, which was their first one, mind you, early in the year, you know, they've battled, so it's going to be kind of like the last 5 minutes, but for 40 minutes.
True.
There's not going to be any breathing room tomorrow night. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough one for sure.
915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. We got a couple segments to get to here on the program. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next, and 600ESPNElPaso.com, where you can check us out as well. Big shout out. I saw Mike Tipton today. Big shout out to our boy.
Shout out Tip.
Tipton,
yeah.
Who was there. He threw a great picture of Steve Kaplitz, who's doing the KFOX broadcast today, or I should just say the Sun Bowl Invitational broadcast today on TV. Steve was able to do it along with Leonard Owens, friend of the program, and yeah, it was also on YouTube, so people from out of town or who just didn't have a chance to watch it on KFOX or over the air or on Spectrum could follow along all the way through. You know, Alberto, accessibility-wise, I love the Sun Bowl tournament for that. The fact that you're throwing all these games on for free anywhere for people to watch, whether it's over the air TV, on cable, or online, like, that's a great thing there by this tournament.
Yeah, the accessibility is through the roof. I was personally watching via YouTube. You know, so being able to listen to Steve Kaplowitz's voice is it's so milky, it's perfect, and I love the way he describes the game. So yeah, the accessibility behind this tournament is to the 10. So I really enjoy that. So I kind of wish, I hope more people have it on at home, right? You hope maybe they're not there, but they have it on, and then they'll go tomorrow. That's kind of your ultimate hope. But yeah, they do a phenomenal job of getting this out to the masses. You wish all UTEP games were this accessible.
Going to Pinky, he said it's great to see UTEP men's basketball. Babacar Mbengue playing, number 25, playing and contributing. Oh man, I want to talk more Baba later. I thought Zay's actually coming back in our fantasy basketball. I mean, Sal has the clear lead right now. Sal, by the way, has Corey Camper Jr., Kevin Kalu. And I don't even need to say your third player. Who's your third player, Sal?
Eliza Jones.
Elijah Jones.
Yeah, so
man.
Effective. He stepped on the floor tonight and Jackson State lost. Yeah, so, yeah, man. Doing good so far. Got to keep it going.
But Zay's starting to come back, knowing that Babacar Mbengue played a little bit today. DeCannon Wickware as well. We'll get to those two later on. But, yeah, I would just say Sal's got a little advantage over all of us, Zay.
But I'm right there. I'll say I'm right there. Look, Ahmad Bynum.
You have the nation's leading 3-point percentage scorer.
Yeah, that's got to give me some plus points. And then Devon Barnes, he's solid. He gets the assist done, right? That'll add some points.
That's why you're probably second. I'm probably either last or I guess a little bit ahead of Alberto, but it's close right now. And whatever we're doing here in our quote unquote UTEP fantasy basketball world, 915-505-6009, our telephone number, 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next, 600ESPNElPaso.com. Other posts coming in, Daniel tweeting it and posting into the program. Golding's late game subs are very questionable at times. It seems that his team's tend to blow leads at times, going back to Abilene Christian. He also, Daniel also said, I guess this was a decent victory, but almost blowing a big lead raises a few concerns for me. This has to change if they want to win championships. A 22-point lead almost blown. I think Coach Golding would agree with that, too. He even said stuff like, that's not championship basketball. And I agree. I agree with that as well. And then Pinky questions, are the Miners at the stage where they play at the level of their competition? I'd say the two teams that they played recently, Tarleton State and Jackson State, play pretty similar. But, Sal, the one area that I get worried about is the zone. When Jackson State threw the zone defense out there,
yeah,
UTEP's offense really didn't have a big answer.
Yeah, and there's motion that needs to be going on. Coach Golding had mentioned that, and we've kind of seen it all year, this year and also in previous years, is there's not a lot of motion if you don't have the ball, for lack of a better phrase, not really doing anything out there on the floor. So you want to see that go on, but I mean, what better time to get that going than in the pressure of a tournament? So it's all easy to say this now, but it kind of makes you yearn for more offensively, despite them having Ahmad Bynum, who's been on fire, despite them having I think this is pretty good, right, Kevin Kluwe with 12. Yeah, that's pretty good there, but 12, no, 12. You know, all sarcasm aside, those are some signs that things can be done, but you want to see it be put into motion, because before we know it, February is going to be here, and the margin for error is going to be a lot slimmer.
I'll also say this, as far as it's okay right now against Jackson State, that's fine. The turnover margin is something that they can't be happy about at all. Forcing 15 turnovers, okay, that's a plus, but then 17 turnovers on their side, -2 on the turnover margin, I don't think that's happened this year. I have to go back and do some digging, but even the games UTEP's lost this year, I don't know if that's happened very often this entire season where they've even lost the turnover margin, just period. So for the Miners here moving forward, they've got to improve on that, and I think they will. I mean, they create turnovers, they limit turnovers on their side. Playing like that feels a little uncharacteristic for this UTEP squad. We'll keep it going. Back to the phone. We go 915-505-6009 to get things started here on the program. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. Brian's going to get us started here on the show. Brian, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, yo? It was another sloppy win, just like the win against Tarleton on Monday, but we'll take it, I guess. Golding's time management near the end was atrocious. Reminded me a lot of the game against UT Permian Basin, where they almost came back and beat us, but then again, a win is a win. It does have me a bit worried for Yale, though, because that team, even though their record doesn't show it, they are really good, just like they said. But I'm really, really looking forward to how this team is going to keep looking, especially my favorite player, Ahmad Bynum. He's killing it right now. I bet he's going to do really good in conference play.
You know, I think he will too. Good stuff, Brian. I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in on the show. I don't know about that Permian Basin game, man, but other than that, you're pretty spot on with your takes right there. Guys, I'm looking through all the games. I don't think UTEP's lost a turnover margin all season long, Sal. It may have been actually Louisville may have been the one. UTEP had 15 turnovers in that game. The Cardinals had 11 on their side, so that may have been the only game they lost a turnover margin. Mm-hmm. And then tonight was the second one.
Yeah, and that's such a catalyst for how they get going, turning the forcing turnovers and being able to get points on the other end. They weren't doing that as much as they normally do tonight. And when you're giving them the ball more than you're supposed to be getting it, it's like, hey, why are we reversing roles tonight? So it definitely makes you wonder. However, I mean, every dog has its day. Every dog has its night, so to speak. And we're going to see what happens tomorrow. It's a brand new one. How are they going to be able to attack within these, 24 hours or so. It's going to be interesting, man, because it's I'm excited for it.
Okay, guys, I got three questions, and then we're going to go to a couple other tweets and posts, and then we're going to go with our awards, and we'll wrap it up, okay? We'll get ready for Yale, and we'll wrap this one up, and we'll make tomorrow's show a little longer than we did today. Number one, here's my first question, okay? I told this one to Zay earlier, and Sal, I'm asking this directly to you. Can Kevin Kalou be the best offensive player for UTEP in a given night where they win a game?
No. No, he cannot, because it's predicated all off of making jump shots. Now, it's great. He doesn't have to be an effective scorer or an efficient scorer, really, to make an impact. Go out there, get some rebounds, you know, force some turnovers when you're out there on defense. But there's so many options. However, all of that to say, I don't think so.
Okay, he had 12 of UTEP's 33 rebounds today. They just didn't rebound at all. And he was just, you're right, like, go out there, get rebounds. That's what he should do every night. 12 rebounds is kind of the standard that you want from Kalou. I'll get your all's thoughts. Zay, Alberto, do you think, like, Kevin Kalou could be the best offensive player in a given night when they win a game?
I think he can. For Kevin Kalou, it's about being the right spot at the right time, right? Those little dunk-off dishes when somebody, you know, penetrates into the lane, you know, the alley-oops, stuff like that. He can easily get 10 points a game off of just doing that, right? Being at the right place at the right time. Don't make, you know, a boneheaded mistake. And add in a couple post-ups, and I think he really can, right? There's probably a world down the stretch. Kevin Kalou can drop, like, 15 points or 16, something like, I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but for Kevin Kalou, that really is a lot.
It is.
And I feel like that could lead the Miners in scoring, and I feel we see it with Derek Hamilton all the time. And I know Kevin Kalou and Derek Hamilton are two completely different players, but UTEP, you know, they have little lapses where they kind of have to turn to their big man to get them a bucket. So I'm going to say yes. I think he can be the best offensive player on the floor in a game where UTEP is winning.
Okay. Any thoughts you want to add there, Alberto? Anything at all?
He can be the guy. I just don't think that if you're the Miners, you want to go into any game saying, all right, we need Kevin Kalou to be the player of the game today. I think that you want him to go off in his when he can, but you want guys like Otis Frazier, Corey Kemper, and David Terrell, you want them to be the primary focus of your offense and have Kevin Kalou really just become an afterthought so that he can get lost under the bucket, so he can get points in the paint and rebounds, which is what this team really needs.
Okay, guys, let me give you a trivia question, Sal. Over under, let's say this: over under four games where Kevin Kalou has scored in double figures. Are you going over or under at UTEP? He's a senior, by the way. This is his last year.
I'm gonna say under.
Okay, you're gonna say under. Zay, where are we going? Over under four games where Kevin Kalou in his career has scored over 10 points.
I'm going under.
Going under as well. Alberto, you're going under too?
Yeah.
Without even looking?
Yeah, I was looking for that other double-double, and I was looking through those numbers. There's not more than four.
Okay, so there's three games this year alone where he scored in double figures, okay? Texas Permian Basin, he scored 12. Seattle, he scored 13. Jackson State tonight, he scored 12. Then he scored against Western Kentucky, not last year, the year before, he scored 10 points in the Conference USA tournament against the Hilltoppers. And then that very season against Solross State, he scored 13 points. So he's done it exactly five times. I'm going to take away the Texas Permian Basin and the Solross game and say three times he scored in double figures against D1 opponents. Is that fair? Do we think that's fair? And then you guys would all be right then, if that's the case, and saying under four games for Kevin Kalou to score over 10 points. And then, like you guys mentioned, this is his first double-double. I couldn't believe that was the case. Like, I had to do all the digging on my side too, just to make sure that was correct. And yeah, it's kind of a surprising one, but nonetheless, that's what you see from Kevin Kalou here tonight. I think I'm gonna side with Zay. I think in a given night against maybe a team like what we saw tonight against Jackson State, he can be the best offensive go-to guy in a given night for a team like UTEP that wins a game. Now, does that mean he anchors them or they go through them? No. Does that mean they run plays for him? No. And also, you know, I love the Kevin Kalu game tonight. The one play I hated was when he had it at the top of the key and then he turned the ball over on a travel.
He was trying to get 15, man.
Sal, no one in the building was going to go after Kevin Kalu to contest a three. No one in the building would go after Kalu on a three-point attempt. So why are you pump faking that? Just drive. I think Golding was pointing to the basket. Either he wanted Kalu to dish it down low or just take it to the hoop. And Zay, on that one, I'm just like, take it to the hoop. Just drive it immediately. He was doing that all night where he would just catch the ball off ball and just take it to the hoop and make a play.
I wanted to see him shoot it.
Wanted a three.
I wanted a three. That's like the cherry on top to you know, a double. Imagine 15-point double double. But the real story is he made the three.
Okay, let me ask you guys. Now we're going real thoughts here. Over under 2 3-point attempts in Kalu's career. Where are you guys going? Quickly, Sal.
I'm gonna say over. I don't know why.
Zay.
I'm going under.
Alberto.
I'm going under.
He has never attempted a three, guys. He's never attempted a three.
He could have been halfway there tonight.
In a college basketball game. No, we're not doing this.
We need it. Come on.
I already know. He shoots it, and he would have banked it. It would have just been nothing but net. And we would have all been like, he needs to shoot more threes.
This, I'm just, my mind just almost blown up right there after you just said that. I just want to remind everybody, Kevin Kalu, as a career free throw shooter, is 54% from the charity stripe. So, I'm not going that route. But I appreciate all his game this year from 2-point attempts down low. Kevin Kalu is 62%. I mean, he's as efficient as he's ever been in his career down low. And I like that. His true shooting numbers, by the way, 63% in true shooting. Effective field goal percentage, 62%. All those numbers are the best in his career. Would I run an offensive play for him? I still don't think so. I think I'm good with how he's used offensively in the dunker spot, making those alley-oops, trusting the guards down, you know, up top to get it to him down low and running it that way. And, you know, can we see an expanded role for Kalu as the Conference USA season, you know, tips off? I would doubt it. I would just, offensively, it's just not his nature. But can he still be the cleanup guy? Can he play the Zarek Onyema role for this team? Yes. I think that's definitely a possibility, and that's very valuable to this team. I also don't want to undermine his value, Sal. When we did our fantasy drafts, we undervalued Kalu in a big way. And I'd say, as far as value to this team goes, you might not find three players more valuable right now to UTEP than Kalu.
His style is very suitable when he's out there, right? When he's not in foul trouble, his style is very suitable to what Golding wants, and that's do the dirty work out there. He's a vacuum around the rim, and that's exactly what you want. And kind of to your point, but to disagree a bit, I think they should run at least one or two.
That's fair.
Plays more so to get guys in motion. I mean, if Kalu's going to get the ball and that's going to throw the defense off saying, hey, they're going to go down low specifically for this guy, who knows what that opens up? It's all easy for me to say this, but no, you're right. What he provides when he's not in foul trouble is a lot. His size out there and his speed at times, you know, he's able to get to certain spots and, you know, throw them off a bit.
Okay, that was my first question. That was a long first question, but it was fun to deliberate a little bit more on Kalu and focus in on him tonight. Let's go to another player. Okay, I'm coming off the top rope, and this question's to Zay. Okay, can Babacar Mbengue win Freshman of the Year in Conference USA?
I think. Oh man, this is gonna hurt me to say it. I don't think he can win Freshman of the Year. I don't even think he can win Freshman of the Team.
Or the Week?
Like, Freshman on his own team. Like, I think he went Freshman of the Week. I think there's, like, probably five freshmen, true freshmen, playing, you know, basketball in Conference USA. But KJ Thomas is just better. He plays more. And in 2 years, that could be a completely flipped statement, right? Babacar could be one of the best big men in Conference USA.
I love how you take this serious, because I said that with a smile, and you're taking this serious. But actually today, actually the 3 minutes, you know, he scores the bucket, he gets the steal,
this is effective, man.
And gives the assist for another bucket. Almost got out of my chair. They almost had to tell me, hey, this is a working media area. I couldn't believe myself, Zay. I thought your player, your third player, would be DeCannon Wickware. It might be Babacar, who's now appeared in 3 games. Actually, I should say 4, since suffering an injury over the offseason, recovering from it. But the 7-footer, fans have told us, and I brushed it off saying, nah, I don't think there's any chance he even plays this year. And tonight, again, maybe it means nothing in the long run, but maybe it means the next year he could start being ready to actually see the floor and see some action for this UTEP squad. And a 7-footer on your team, that is, in my opinion, a valuable thing.
It is, you know, having a guy with his size. And I remember you told me this a couple years back. The thing with big men is just get them in. Get them into the building and see what you can do from there, because you can't teach that size. And we know that big men are expensive. You know, we know that they cost a lot. They cost a lot of money in NIL, especially in the transfer portal. So I like the upside with him. He looks to be getting, you know, he gets basketball. He's getting a little bit better, right? You saw him in practices last year versus in games now. He looks completely different. He looks more comfortable playing basketball with UTEP, and that's all you can ask for.
I'm going to tell you one thing. He's athletic. He's not clumsy. He's not one of these clumsy, like, 7-footers who you throw out there and you're worried about his athleticism. He's got the athleticism. Somebody commented to me. He was like, they were like, I just hate the knee brace. Okay, I get it. But he's still coming back from that injury. It's like Jonathan Dos Anjos last year, who's coming back from his injury. Sal, to be just thrown in mid-season, it's probably not a reality. Like, when I say CUSA freshman of the year, you know, I'm mostly joking. But I would love for Babacar to fight for minutes and earn those minutes off the bench at some point. Maybe not this year, maybe next year.
There's no reason to think, you know, it's impossible. I mean, the odds, I don't know what the odds would be, so to speak, but I mean, why not work towards it? We've seen better post play, rebounds aside, we've seen better post play from this team the last week or so.
I agree.
Than we've seen in the last couple of years. And if Babacar can come along, and I don't want to say fill the gap or replace or anything like that, but add something to that, that's exactly what you want. We've seen the guards, you know, the play is good in abundance, you know, in various spots. And if you could get that down low, you just add another dynamic that that you really didn't have before, somebody who's a starter or not.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Okay, those are some questions. Those, you know, I'm this gave us a good excuse to talk about Babacar, who a lot of our listeners have asked us to talk about. We've kind of, you know, refrained from talking too much about him. But tonight he definitely warranted a little segment. So I didn't think we'd be doing a Babacar segment this year. But man, he was that sequence was so much fun to watch tonight. Gave you a little glimpse as to maybe what he could be down the line. By the way, speaking of freshmen, I like the KJ Thomas minutes tonight. I'm gonna hang on to the stock. I know he had 4 fouls. I know he had 3 turnovers. 14 minutes of action. I'm gonna say I'm good with KJ Thomas. Did he get some bad film out there tonight that he could learn from? Yes. And will he be better because of tonight? I believe so. I still bet on KJ Thomas. For whatever reason, KJ Thomas is like a running back. He can get to the basket and find these different, like, you know, just different lanes that he finds open. And he might not be the best shooter yet. He's definitely not the strongest nor the biggest, but he has a knack to get to the basket. He has great athleticism to him. His speed and quickness favor him. And he is that true point guard, like that true number one. So, Zay, anything you want to add on KJ Thomas?
Yeah, I like how you talked about him getting downhill like a running back. Like, he gets to the lane and he gets to the basket really easily for a freshman. And I mean, I guess it's a cheap comparison and they're really nothing alike, but they both play the same way offensively. Like, David Terrell's a freshman. He got his buckets by just being physical and getting, you know, physical layups down low. That's exactly what KJ Thomas is doing. He does not look like a freshman whenever he drives to the ball. He's really confident with it. And like you said, right, it wasn't the greatest game from him, but he's a... He looks a lot better, right? I said that for Baba, but I said that for KJ too. He looks more comfortable, right? Defensively, that's really where I think he's taking a big step up, and he's going to continue to take steps up.
Sal, I was real excited about Trey Horton III going into this year. I picked him on my team after the Solros State game. He went 5-7. You said, hey, is this a little, you know, University of Science and Art-ish right here? And I said, no. I brushed it off right away and said, no chance. Since that game, by the way, I said 5-7 from three-point range in that game. Since that game, Trey Horton III is 5-28 from beyond the arc.
Yeah. But he was 1-for-2 today. I mean, if there's ever going to be a turn, you know, it could start today. But, I mean, these games are going to come in waves. Guards are going to have their nights. And, I mean, look at the performance of Terrell tonight. It kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit. But you know he's better than that. He knows he's better than that.
True.
However, he was able to be out there and be effective, you know, a lot of times. So, all that to say, I mean, hey, today was one of his better days in the amount of minutes that he got.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you completely. Let's shift it over to my final question to you guys. Texas Western jerseys tonight, loved them. Do pink shoes work on Texas Western jerseys, all white? Zay.
Well, you know, I'm literally editing a photo where the pink shoes just look so disgusting that I might have to just delete the photo or
I didn't
change,
see that. Let me see.
Or, you know, change the color of them. No, I'm just playing.
Can you airdrop one to Sal so he can see this real quick?
Let me
because the all white Texas Western jerseys are as traditional, historic, and nice as they get. And come, but then there are two players on this team who are throwing some pinkish color shoes, and the clash of that dark orange with the pink just doesn't match. and maybe we're spending too much time talking about this, but Otis Frazier was the pink one, and then David Terrell had like magenta Adidas, but I didn't like it at all.
Oh, you know what? I've changed my mind. Yeah, in this little amount of time, I've looked at the photo. Look, the Texas Western jerseys, the new ones under Adidas are actually really good. Like, they look original. Instead of the blue on the little collar, it's orange and it's black. And that really, really looks good. And they have, like, stripes on the bottom. Overall, somehow the pink works. And I feel like pink shoes, they're a little cheap in basketball now. Like, they're really, like, everybody wears the pink shoes. Like, it's not unique anymore. But I mean, it works. I like it. You know, I like it. I changed my mind. I like it. I'm a fan of the pink shoes.
Man.
Like the pink and the cyan blue. Like, if somebody were to wear those too, I would like those as well.
Alberto, you're all in. You like the pink.
I did like the pink. I saw them and I was like, man, it's not bad. I like the contrast. I think that's what it's about. It's about the white and the pink contrasting off each other. I like the way it looks.
Sal, they were Jackson State was where they had a couple guys wearing neon green. So and then one guy was wearing a neon green shoe and a pink shoe. So I thought it was pretty interesting.
It reminds me of the NBA some years back. I don't know if you guys remember this, but LeBron was with the Heat at this time. So just for context, but guys are wearing these neon green shoes. It matched nothing like the jerseys. We're watching Orlando Magic players. You know, all of that to say, like, I guess it's just for the fun of it. Color-wise, I'll say this. Maybe a darker pink would have been cool, or maybe some blue shoelaces. You know, the blue that matches, like, the outline on the digits of the jersey. If they had that on the shoes, fire. But nonetheless, though, I understand what it represents, and that's never going to be a no for me. So a shout out to the pink shoes wearers, pink, you know, headbands, sweatbands, whatever.
Okay. Any thoughts, Zay?
Yeah, going back to, like, quickly to that NBA comment that Sal had, I mean, I was in elementary school, like, when that was happening. And I'll say that, like, the craze, like, the crazy craze that there was going around, like, pink shoes, neon green shoes, the socks, oh my gosh.
Yes, yes.
It was crazy. Like, you could walk into an elementary classroom and you'd have, like, a kid in like, a regular elementary school uniform wearing khakis. Like, shorts, and they'll have, like, these super long, like, green, like, slime green Nike socks with, like, pink shoes. And, like, it looks ugly now, but back then, like, you would have been the coolest kid in the class
that
if
was,
you had that.
That was heat. I like it. That's hilarious. Oh, man. Man, now we're getting off the rails here. Let's get back to earth here. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. Sad UTEP fan. Once again, it's an embarrassing win. This team is middle of the pack at best in Conference USA. Out-rebounded again. Golding did not have them ready, and we have zero backups worth anything. This team can give me one game where I can say something positive. God bless. That's from sad UTEP fan at this guy. To this guy, I would say this. The last three games had some frustration, right? Like the Louisville game, Miners were leading that entire game and they fell short. Tarleton State played well in that game except for the final minutes where it got a little too close for comfort. Tonight, same thing. So what I can attribute that and maybe a little negativity or frustration from sad guy UTEP fan or sad UTEP fan is, Sal, maybe the past three games have not been clear-cut winners or clear-cut dominant performance like you remember back from Saturday, December 7th when they dominated Seattle at home.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a different time, too. There's a lot more basketball that's being played within this stretch than before. So take what happens in December with a grain of salt as well when it all comes down to it. You want to see them win. I get it. And if you're complaining about the way a team won, it's actually a lot better than taking a moral victory. You just got to move on, man. I mean, I can't really buy too much stock into this game. It's disappointing at times, but there's no way this game is going to indicate how Conference USA is going to play. And
right.
I just want to say this, everybody, just get used to the fact that they're going to get out-rebounded more times than not. When it comes to these games, that's just not their style. They're going to try and push it.
No, I totally understand that. As we turn the page, and it's Yale tomorrow. Zay, you got a chance to watch a little bit of Yale earlier today. They beat Akron 74-58. We talked about that dominant win for the Bulldogs in this one. They had four players score in double figures. We talked about that earlier already. Or five players, I should say, score in double figures in this one right there. They have Casey Simmons, who's, you know, a top player, a 6'6" junior. Nick Townsend, this guy, you know, could be playing in the NBA when it's all said and done. 6'7". Could hit it from beyond the arc and was 7 of 12 tonight. You know, this team right here in Yale is going to pose a big threat to the Miners tomorrow, Zay. But my expectations are, if you're at the Don Haskins Center, unless this team is a top 50 team coming to El Paso, UTEP's got to win.
Yeah, and I feel like that's valid. And I think the team feels the same way, right? Every presser, every home presser after the game, they're always talking about protect the Don. Like, that is a huge, huge thing that they emphasize. Otis Frazier said it. Even Kevin Kalu said it. Kevin Kalu, I'll say this. Whenever he interviews with the media, you're not going to get like the longest of answers. So for him to say that.
I can't believe he comes in the postgame scrum.
Yeah, today his interview was pretty good. You know, it was a good interview. But even Joe Golding says it. I mean, they love to protect the Don. They've made that a habit. And another thing they've made a habit is they want to win this tournament. They want to win this tournament again. It's a championship game. Like, they're even trying to get a lot of fans out. You know, you heard Joe Golding said it, right? Tomorrow, the most important game is not the college football playoff. It's UTEP versus Yale, right? Yeah. That's the most important game in the country. And they want this one. So I feel like they expect to win, and as they should, right? Yale, as good as you want to say, yeah, they made the tournament this and the third, they're not a top 50 team. UTEP should win this game, and that should be the expectation, like you said, every single time a team, even if they're in the top 50. I think unless they're a ranked team, like, UTEP should win every home game.
They should, and I hold that same standard when they host La Tech coming up in a couple weeks, and same with Sam Houston coming into town in a couple weeks. I'll ask you, Alberto, you know, the cool thing about the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational is that they go out and they actually give out tournament awards. That's one of my favorite things about it. Last year, I was like pounding my fist saying, no, it's got to be, you know, a certain player or, you know, this, that, and the third. As far as like the awards go, but that's what makes this kind of fun, is that there's a tournament MVP. You know, they have an all tournament team. The awards side of this is a really cool deal. I'll say this: a couple candidates right now for awards for who could take home some hardware when it's all said and done. Otis Frazier III, Kevin Kalu, like we just talked about, Ahmad Bynum, David Terrell Jr. Those three, since they scored in double figures and had at least decent games in this one, those four, I should say, all have a chance to be in the mix for tournament MVP. If you had to be crystal ball tomorrow and you had to look ahead to what happens tomorrow after the championship, let's just play hypothetical, okay? Let's say UTEP wins, Alberto. Who do you think gets the tournament MVP out of UTEP?
That's a great question. I think it really hinges on...
Make the case for this player having a great game tomorrow. That's a better way of saying this.
Kevin Kalu. I feel like if he has himself a good game, both rebounding and shooting, that trophy's going to end up on his mantle. Currently, I'm looking for last year's pictures because I have pictures of when they gave away the tournament last year. Yep, here it is.
It was Zid Powell. No, Tay Hardy.
Tay Hardy also got one, too. So, yeah, he got the Don Haskins Award. Zid Powell's also there. He got an award. And the guys look extremely happy with the trophy. So I'm hoping they repeat that tomorrow. And I think Kevin Kalu, he's got a great shot. I don't know about you guys. I think that if he kind of just picks up the steam that he needs to and gets under the basket, gets enough rebounds, I think this is his trophy.
It could be. He could go home with some. Yeah. He could go home with a trophy when it's all said and done. Are you guys going a different route, Zay, Sal? Where are you guys going? If you had to crystal ball, look ahead to tomorrow, all tournament team or somebody that you think is going to have a good one come tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, I think I want to go Kevin Kalu so bad. Like everything in my body is saying go Kevin Kalu, but. I need like style points on Minor Talk. So I'm going to make my prediction, call it my shot. Otis Frazier, another big game, secures tournament MVP.
Okay.
Man, that's a nice one. I was going to go Otis, but I'm going to go another route because somebody has to be right. Somebody has to be wrong. Now, granted, I'll say this. All of these names that have been mentioned are definitely worthy, but I think the way that the game is going to go tomorrow, they're going to need big shots. And there's none better than one of the best three-point shooters in the nation, that being Ahmad Bynum. When you need, you know, to cut a lead and get back into it, he could do that when you need to stretch an 8-point, you know, lead or 9-point lead out to double digits. He can definitely do that, and he does it in bunches. So I'm going to go Ahmad Bynum, a.k.a. A-Boogie.
Okay, A-Boogie. I like the name. I like the nickname, Sal. We call him Casino Cat. He's Cat. And now we've got A-Boogie for Ahmad Bynum.
Ball Dog, Bynum, whatever, it doesn't matter.
There's some good nicknames there. Sal's the king of nicknames, so we'll defer to him on these. So good stuff there, Sal. Guys, let's give our awards here. We spent so much talking about tomorrow's awards. Our awards here tonight. Let's start off hot hand of the game. Sal Montes, it's going to go to the man that you just talked about. It's A-Boogie, Ahmad Bynum. 12 points, 4 of 7 from the floor, 3 of 7 from beyond the arc. He also only turned the ball over once in this matchup. Oh, by the way, he contributed with a steal and a block. Sal, this guy is so much fun to watch.
Yeah, and he's an automatic heat check when he goes into the game. People, it's to the point now where not only if you're at the game, you're looking for Ahmad Bynum to get the ball and shoot, but these broadcasters know whenever they're covering UTEP, they know about number 12 himself and what he brings to the table. So, you know how we talk about sometimes when there's a scouting report out, oh, we got to watch out for so-and-so. Ahmad Bynum is in that territory of who you have to watch out for if you're playing against UTEP, for sure.
That's a good point. Ahmad Bynum, the hot hand of the game, presented by Wind Supply El Paso. Check out the Find a Dealer tab online today, windsupplyelpaso.com. You can check out all the great dealers who are certified champion elite dealers as well. That is up at windsupplyelpaso.com. Over to our player of the game, thanks to Oscar ID at the agency. Man, we could go a lot of different ways here. I'll defer to you, Alberto. Where are we going here? Player of the game tonight, UTEP wins 67-61.
Well, against my better judgment, I'm going to go with number 34, Otis Frazier. Kalu coin. The Kalu coin.
Kevin Kalu.
Kevin Kalu is as high as it's ever been. I actually want to mint some Kalu coin and be like, dude, start shilling this Kalu coin out. You'll be rich. But, yeah, you got to love the improvement. First double-double.
Kevin Callow, easy.
12 points, 12 rebounds, 24 minutes, 2 steals, active night. I love the description right there from Voice of the Miners, Sean Teicher. I threw it out in a tweet as well. You know, Joe Golding echoed the same thing. It was an active night tonight for Kevin Callow. The player of the game brought to you by the Oscar Idietha Agency. Check him out online, OscarIdiethaAgency.com. They can help you bundle your home and auto insurance with a local insurance agent who's provided solutions to the El Paso area for the last 27 years. That's the Oscar Arieta Agency. Guys, turning the page. It's Yale on deck tomorrow. We'll be back. We've got that one tomorrow. And I think that's how we're going to wrap things up. I appreciate all the comments, conversation. You know what? We're going to be back at it tomorrow. It's a busy sports day. We'll throw out the podcast. This was a great episode of Minor Talk right here. We'll throw out the podcast tomorrow during the day so everybody can catch up ahead of UTEP versus Yale. We'll be out at the district giving away tickets and prizes ahead of this matchup as well. But until then, for Alberto Retta, for Zay Galindo, for Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Bradas. We are signing off. UTEP wins over Jackson State 67-61. We're brought to you by Jack in the Box. We'll be back in action tomorrow here on Minor Talk on 600 ESPN El Paso.